world coming to. What people need today is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
Yeah, well, can people handle the truth, though?
I believe they can, in the situation room. Welcome to the Situation Room, the program that applies God's word to our present situation. We take the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth of God's word, and apply it to our daily lives. Because at the end of the day, what really matters is not what I say or what somebody else say, but what does the word of God say? And I ask that you take everything that you hear me say or somebody else say on this program, and you check it out with the word of God. Because if anyone try to put something on your spiritual plate that don't line up with the scriptures, well, just put that in your spiritual garbage disposal. Because all you want on your spiritual plate is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. So help you God. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome this morning to the Situation Room. It is indeed a plumb pleasure to have you this morning in the Situation Room. After all, this is the day that the Lord has made. We shall rejoice and be glad in it. We're excited and delighted that you have tuned in this morning to be a part of our program. We hope and pray that you're having a good day and things are going well for you and your family in your neck of the woods. We have a wonderful program this morning. This morning we'll be looking at our Sunday school. Yes, it's time again to study our Sunday school lesson. So go get your Bible and go get your Sunday school book and study along with us this morning as we study our Sunday school lesson. Now, this morning, our lesson is entitled Freedom, Love, and Faith. Freedom, Love, and Faith. And it's taken out of the book of Galatians. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. Galatians chapter 5, verses 1 through 15. And it reads like this. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised, that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we through the faith, we through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Jesus Christ neither circumcision availeth anything or uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion come not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveth the whole lump. I have confidence in you through the Lord that ye will be none otherwise minded. But he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment, whosoever he be. And I, brethren, if I yet preach circumcised, why do I yet suffer persecution? Then is the offense of the cross ceased. I would they were even cut off which trouble you. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Now, Lord, help me to teach your word. I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart would be acceptable in your sight. For you are my strength, you are my redeemer. Besides you, there is no other. Speak in a mighty way so that the lost can be saved, the saved can be encouraged, and backsliders can come back to you. Oh, Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. Our lesson this morning is entitled Freedom, Love, and Faith. And we're looking again out of Galatians. You know, last week we looked at Galatians chapter 3. And we saw how we was free. We was free from the law. Freedom and the law. Freedom and the law. And today we're going to be looking at, again, freedom. Now keep in mind the battle that Paul was fighting. Number one, he had to fight against these Judaism, Judaizers, because number one, they didn't really want to recognize him as being a legitimate apostle. And so he had to prove to them that he was indeed a legitimate apostle. And actually, that's what the whole book of the Second Corinthians is all about, how Paul had to prove his authentication of being a legitimate apostle. Well, and when you come to Galatians, he had to defend the message that he was preaching. He was preaching a message of salvation by faith and faith alone, not salvation by faith and works. And but as these Judaizers was preaching, these Judaizers kept wanting these Christians to come back upon the law, come back upon the law. And Paul was fighting against that. He was fighting against that. And these Judaizers was trying to let the Christians know, you're missing out on something if you don't come back up under this law. If you come up under the law, then you're going to get something. You're going to get more when you come up under the law. But Paul argues in chapter 5 here what you're going to lose if you come back under that law. Paul spells it out. He spells it out that they would lose. And actually, he points out three major things that they would lose. Number one, you're going to lose your liberty. That's verse 1. He says, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Notice, Paul used the word stand fast, stand fast, stand fast, stand fast. In other words, like when you're in a fight, you got to hold your ground. That's what he's saying. Hold your ground. Don't move. Don't let them move you. See, when you hearing false teaching and things like that, false teaching can move you. As a matter of fact, you know, when you read Ephesians 4. Over in Ephesians 4, one of the purposes of God raising up leadership, godly leadership, the apostles and prophets and evangelists and pastors and teachers, is for the perfecting of the saints and for the edifying of the body, that we can be mature Christians. But then it talks about that we should not be like children that's tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. See, that's the thing, ladies and gentlemen. You can hear false teaching, and false teaching can move you. Yeah. And so Paul is letting them know, don't let this false teaching of these Judaizers move you. Stand fast. Don't let them put you back up under the yoke of bondage. Now, he used an imagery of a yoke because everybody in Paul's day knows exactly what he's talking about when he said a yoke, because back in Bible days, you had an agile culture society, a farming society. That almost everybody, you know, had a farm or had a way that they would raise their crops and stuff. You saw farmers every day. If your family was not farmers, you saw some farmers. And one of the things about a farmer, he would often put a yoke, and a yoke was an instrument that went around an ox or an animal neck in order to control that animal, to guide that animal. And Paul is using this imagery as a tool, and he's applying it towards the law. Don't come back up under the yoke of the law. It's just like, you know, Pharaoh had put the people in slavery under his yoke. And so he's using yoke here in a spiritual sense about how as a tool of control, how Pharaoh, he used this his control, his power over the people to control them, just like a farmer controls an animal with a yoke. And he says, don't let these Judaizers put you under the yoke of the law, because they're going to try to control your life, just like these Pharisees had the people under their yoke, under their teaching. That's why when Jesus came, Jesus said over in Matthew chapter 11, I think round about verse number 28 and following, he says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you shall find rest for your soul. And see, once a person receives Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, then they come up under his yoke, the yoke of grace. Yeah, and that's why he says it's easy and the burden is light, because it's like when a farmer would have a team of oxen, where he would have like two oxen. One of the ways that he would train the young ox, he would put a young ox with an old ox, and he would tighten the yoke on the old ox, but he had to loose the yoke on the young ox. As a result, the weight was all on the old ox, because the old ox was the one that was really pulling the load there. And the young ox was basically just coming along there for the ride. Well, that's how it is when we yoke up with Jesus. Jesus got the weight of the yoke. We're just basically coming along for the ride. And so Paul says, don't let nobody put you up under the yoke of the law. He said, because when that happened, you're back in bondage again. So you lose your liberty when you get back up under the law. You lose your liberty. See, the Bible says in Romans 6:14 that you are no longer under the law, but you are under grace. Yeah, You up under God's riches at Christ's expense. You up under the power of grace. What is grace? The power of God to do the will of God in your life. That's another definition of grace. And so that's first thing that you lose. You lose your liberty. But number two, you lose your spiritual wealth. You lose all your spiritual wealth. Look what Paul says in verses 2-6. And what he does here, when we turn from grace and go and put ourselves up under the law, notice what he says in verse 2. The first thing happened, he says, Christ shall profit you nothing. Look what he says here. Behold, I Paul say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. If you go back under the law and start circumcising yourself, Christ is going to profit you nothing. And then notice what he says in verse number 3. You become a debtor to do the whole law. Look what he says. He says, for I testify again to every man that is a circumcised, that he's a debtor to do the whole law. So you can't just stop at circumcision. You got to go do the whole thing now, if that's what you count on. And then the third thing Paul says is that Christ is become none effect. Look what he says in verse 4. Christ is become a no effect unto you. Whosoever you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Now, what did I say grace was? It was, now notice, let me back up a little bit. Because a lot of times, there is those that preach works salvation. Those that teach works salvation, they often run to this verse right here and say, see there, you can lose your salvation. See what the Bible says right here? Christ become of no effect unto you, whosoever ye are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. They often run to that verse. See, you are fallen from grace. See there, you done lost your salvation. See, you can lose your salvation. They teach you, you can lose your salvation. You can go out and you can sin. And if you sin, that means that you no longer saved. You no longer saved. You go out and commit adultery, you no longer saved. If you go and you drink and you get on drugs or something, see, you may have been saved at one time, but you done fell from grace. You done fell from grace. See, you no longer saved. You no longer saved. Listen, read your Bible carefully. Are you listening to me? Read your Bible carefully. Look what it says at the end. Ye are fallen from grace. It didn't say you are fallen from salvation. Is that in your Bible? It's you are fallen from grace. It didn't say you done fell from salvation. No. In other words, you done fell from the power of God to do the will of God in your life when you come up under the system of the law. The law is a mirror. The law can only reveal your sin. But the law don't have the power to deliver you from your sin. You done fell from the power of God to do the will of God. Yeah. It's not that you fell from salvation. You done fell from that power. You done turned your back on the power of God to do the will of God. Yeah. You can't do God's will in your own strength and in your own power. That's what he's saying. You done fell from grace. And so you done lost out on a lot of spiritual wealth that you once had. Because that's what grace is. It's God's riches. God's riches at Christ's expense. Break it down. G for God. R for riches. A for at. C for Christ. E for expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. Yeah, you done fail from that. And so you missing out. And see, the sad thing about this is God done bless you with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. But you done turned your back on it. You done turned your back on it. It's like, take for instance, when I was at Frito-Lay, oh, I had all kinds of benefit, health insurance, dental insurance, had all kind of benefits, stocks, bonds, you know, what have you, all kinds of, you know, benefits that I had there. Whatever kind of snacks we wanted, Cheetos, Doritos, potato chips, I could get minimum as I wanted, you know, just take me a handful, a little bag full almost every day. Take me a little bag full home here. Bring them home there to my family, Marion and Tim and what have you. But then once I stopped working for Frito-Lay, even though they still was making Cheetos, Doritos, and all of that, they was no longer free to me. I no longer had access to that. Why was that? It's because I turned my back on Frito-Lay and I left them. I left Frito-Lay. So when I left Frito-Lay, I left the benefits. In the same way, when you go back up under the law, you done left the benefits of grace. Yeah, you done fallen from grace. You done lost the benefits. You had benefits where God's riches was at Christ's expense. You had the power of God to do the will of God. But when you try to do it on your own, now you on your own when you go up under the law. You trying to do it rather than trust in Christ to do it in your life. And so you lose out on a lot of spiritual wealth. But the third thing, you lose time and you lose the race of life. You lose time. Look what he says here, beginning with verse number 7 through 12. He says, ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? Notice, he's using the imagery again of a runner. This time, it's the imagery of a runner. You know, the first imagery he used was that of the yoke, right? And now he's using the imagery of a runner. And he's saying, y'all was running good, Galatian. He's telling these Galatian Christians, y'all was running good. You was doing so well, but who did hinder you? And actually, the way that that read in the Greek in verse 7, you was running well, but who cut you off? Somebody done cut you off, or somebody done tripped you up. Who was it that tripped you up and cut you off and you done fell down and done even turned you around? And now you on a detour. You're going the wrong way. You're not even headed towards the finishing line. You're going the opposite direction. They done got turned around. Somebody done tripped them over. Somebody done tripped them. Done knocked them down, in other words. They done got back up and now they're going the wrong way. So you wasting time. You wasting time and you losing. You're gonna lose the race. You're gonna lose the race. I'm reminded, you know, I like to watch, you know, racing, particularly, you know, the summer games and stuff, track and field. And that back in the day, there used to be a lady. She was a long distance runner by the name of Mary Decker. And anytime Mary Decker, you know, I grew up watching worldwide sports on ABC. The thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. I used to watch that. And they would always bring these big races like that with Mary Decker and stuff. And boy, I was watching Mary Decker. And she was like I say, she was a long distance runner. And so she would run, you know, like the 800 run. I forget what you call it. The 800 meters. Where you had to run around the track two times. And normally, a lot of time, what she would do, she would just kind of hang around at the back. She would hang around at the back until about the last 200 meters. And then she would come around from the back of the pack. And she would just pour it on and just smoke them. this lady, she was good. But one time she got ready, as soon as she got ready to make her move, somebody tripped her. And boy, she hit the ground, and she hit the ground hard. And she tumbled and skinned up her leg and stuff. And so rather than coming in first, she came in last. All because somebody tripped her up. And I always think about that whenever I've come to this scripture. I think about Mary Decker. Now, that done been about 30, maybe been even older than that, 40 years ago. Some of y'all probably ain't never even heard of no Mary Decker. But every time I read this scripture, every time I go through the Bible and I read this scripture, I think about Mary Decker. I said, how great a runner she was. But if you let somebody trip you up, I don't care how great a runner you are, it will cause you to lose the race. And so this is what's happening here in Galatia. These people was doing good, but then Paul got the report that they following these Judaizers. So in other words, they done not only got tripped up, they done got turned around and they going on a detour. They're going the wrong way. So they done lost their time. They're going to lose the race. They done lost direction. And so Paul says, now notice now, he said they got persuaded over a little thing. In verse number 9, a little leaven leaveth the whole lump. And that's the thing about false teaching. It just start a little. They just give you just a little bit. And once you bite, it's just like a fish on a bait. You just put just a little worm on that hook. It's just something little. And that worm on that hook is advertisement. For to that fish said, "Oop, free food and he go ahead and get some of that food, and he bite down on that hook and he's taken out of the water. Yeah, and that's what happens with false teachers come into our church. Jude say they come in there, they sneak in there unaware. You don't even know a lot of time they false teachers. And they give you just a little something, you bite off on it, and you're gone. Now, the sad thing about this, ladies and gentlemen, I done been pastoring for 31 years, and I've been preaching 38 years. And what Paul is talking about right here, I done seen it happen over and over again. I see people come in church, they are so excited about the Lord, they join church. They'll get in choir or something like that. And then all of a sudden you see them start missing. I mean, they're doing good, but then all of a sudden you see them start missing. They ain't coming to church like they used to. They ain't coming to Bible study like they used to. And then you start asking around, you know, somebody, "Have you seen so-and-so?" And they say, "Oh, yeah, they're over there at the Apostles' Church. Are they going to this Apostolic Church? They going to this other country." And you know that those churches are not teaching the gospel. They teaching a salvation by works. Sometimes you'll hear, "Well, you know, they done went and joined the Jehovah Witness." And you say, "What? say, yeah, they done went and joined the Jehovah Witness. Today, people, particularly the young men, they're getting involved in the Muslim, the black Muslims. Some are getting involved in the black Hebrew Israelites and what have you. And the sad thing, they was doing so good. They was doing so good. But they let the black Hebrew Israelites trip them up. Or they let the Jehovah Witness trip them up. Or they let some church that's not teaching the true gospel trip them up. And it's so sad, ladies and gentlemen. I've seen this over and over and over again. And so we got to watch out for that. You lose your liberty. You can lose your spiritual wealth. And you can lose your time. See, even if you do come back to the church, you know, to a gospel church like our church, you look at the time you done lost. And then finally, Paul focused the last thing. And let me just say this, put a word in. Use your liberty to love. Use your liberty to love. See, the problem in teaching grace, and that's verse number 13 through 15. The problem that you have when you start teaching grace is people can take advantage of grace. So they say, well, now that we're no longer under the law and we are under grace, they can use the grace for a license to sin. See, that's the danger. The danger is using your liberty as a license to sin. Hadn't you heard people that say, well, you know, we're under grace now, Pastor. We're under grace. Yeah, you're under grace. But remember what the Bible says over in Jude 4, how these false teachers, how they came in and they changed the grace of God into a license for immorality. And that's what happens a lot of time. People say, well, you know, I know I'm saved, you know, and God will forgive me for it, you know. But if you truly saved, then you ought not want to sin because you love the Lord. Yeah, because you love the Lord, so then you ought not want to sin. Look at what he says here. He says, but you ought to use your liberty. You ought to use your liberty as a license, not for sin, but as an opportunity to serve. Isn't that what he says? He says right here in verse 14, for all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Oh, verse 13, where he says, for brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not your liberty for occasion of the flesh, here it is, but by love serve one another. So use your liberty as an opportunity to serve one another. So stay with your freedom. Stay with your freedom. Stay with your love. And stay with your faith. And if you do that, then you're going to be fine in your Christian life. All right. That's it for today. Thank you so kindly for joining us. Listen to us all day long because we're in your corner right here in the Situation Room.